and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Fresh in from Vegas, yeah.
You've been in the studio 3 minutes, already had an ass full of our callers.
That's true.
Right?
Well, it was funny because Drew looked up at the screen, and we get a lot of bogus calls lately. Drew looked up on the screen and saw 26-year-old Lance just diagnosed with AIDS. And Drew looked at me and he said, what do you think the chances that he's really got AIDS are? And I said, I don't know, man, but he better pray he's got AIDS. Lance, if you're listening, you better pray you got AIDS. If I get another bogus call, I'm going through the roof. So you keep your fingers crossed. If there's an AIDS fairy, and I'm guessing there's a lot of them, you should pray to that AIDS fairy that you got them AIDS. All right, let's see. Had a wonderful experience on the Southwest on the way out here.
Okay. You had the captain come out and kick your ass again?
No. No, but you know, the thing, here's the deal about Southwest.
It sucks. That's what the deal is.
Right. It's not even a bus with wings. It's a subway car with wings.
Yeah.
And here's the, I don't know why, but you know how I get really pissed off when people don't agree with me?
Yeah.
Especially when I'm talking about how much something sucks.
Yeah.
I had this guy behind me in line who was like the Mr. Contrary guy. This is how I imagine all attorneys to be, and they are. This is why I hate attorneys. You go to a dinner party with an attorney, they pick the opposite point of whatever it is you're saying. It makes them seem smart. I hate these guys. I hate these guys that point out the obvious. You know, so here's what Southwest does. First thing they do is they sell you a ticket, and then they just go ahead and give away your seat.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about you running up to the gate 4 minutes before the departure time. Yeah. I'm talking about strolling in 20, 25 minutes before you get there.
It's gone. Yeah.
When I left Burbank, they'd given away my ticket.
Yeah.
They nicely put me on a list.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, what other universe does it work this way? You're going to a concert. You buy a ticket 3 weeks in advance. You show up at the arena 20 minutes before the concert starts, and they say, sorry. Well, why bother buying the ticket, I guess, would be my question. What good is the ticket? It reserves you a possible optional place on their plane. Fine. So on the way back, it's the same thing. They got that counter. They got two slots, and there's one person. And the line is 120 people. However many people are getting on that plane, that's how long this line is. I was there an hour early on the flight home from Vegas. Line's got 110 people in it. I sit down at the bar, have myself a drink.
Uh-uh.
I wait for the line to get all the way down. Well, that's no problem. I walk into it. There's about 35 people in it. I get my thing. I'm in the 90s. They give you those little boarding passes.
Yeah.
I'm standing around.
Numbers on them.
My little section. Guy standing behind me. Everyone's complaining. That's what people do when they fly Southwest.
Sure.
They don't need entertainment. The entertainment is people complaining about the about the airline. And I'm saying, Jesus Christ, how bad would it be for them to put another ass behind that counter? Now, this is the contrary guy. It drives me nuts. Not even one of these weird old guys. This guy's in his 30s. He goes, line would be just as long.
Oh.
I turn around him. I go, yeah, it'd be just as long, but it'd move twice as fast. There's 100% more help at the counter. You had one person, you have two. Yeah. Well, it's the money. No ass, retardo. I go, but what's wrong? Look, there's 120 people in this line, right? How many people are getting on this plane? 125 people?
Yeah.
What are they paying these schlubs? 11, 12 bucks an hour? 15 bucks an hour? Tops? You got 120 people getting on the plane. Charge everyone an extra 50 cents. And let's get another guy behind that counter. Yeah, but they're going to keep that money. Hold on, let me grab a scratch pad, you idiot. So then he goes, look, you know, a lot of people shop around. And I go, what's up with Burbank, too? There's no first class flight out of Burbank. I don't pay
Vegas
for my ticket. Yeah, to Vegas. Why was there something decent from Burbank? He goes, who wants to pay $1,000, you know, for a 45-minute flight? I said, well, first off, it's not $1,000. It's like $600, which is still expensive, don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of industry people flying out. There's half the people flying to Vegas aren't paying for themselves. They got some convention. They got some business. They got some industry. Those people will pay for the thing. Well, he says, look, what? He tells me, no, it doesn't exist. I go, listen, I fly first class out of LAX to Vegas. Oh, he goes, look, what's the problem? The planes are always half full. You just stretch into the seat next to you.
Oh, on Southwest?
I said, half full? I almost didn't get here because they gave away my ticket. Finally, the guys in front of me turns around and goes, half full? I actually said to the guy, are you high? Half full? When have you been on a half full Southwest flight? And I go, and by the way, it's always
September 12th.
It's always ironic, yeah. Always ironic when people are making their point when this plane is packed. You know what I mean? You're trying to make a point about the very plane you're getting on, and that's overbooked. So anyway, after about five go-rounds of the guy, I just look at him and go, do you work for Southwest? No, you know, I just like a bargain, you know. I'm like, dick. Here's all I'm saying. What's in it for him? Why's he got to hassle me? You can't nod your head once. I say there should be another guy behind the counter. You got to argue?
People that like their bargains don't like people who...
Yeah, you know, I know what his thing. His thing was like, hey Richie Rich.
Yeah.
I cruised the internet for 17 hours to save myself $1.75. So, listen, Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah. So I have to be aggressive, I'll be passive aggressive towards you until I feel like I've satisfactorily smacked you around.
Right. I'm a loser. I don't make any money. I'll attack you for spending half my life on the internet trying to save a buck.
Yeah.
Fine. Now listen, I'm all for the bargain too, but I think if I said show of hands, who wants to pay an extra 50 cents and cut this line in half, I think most folks would go for it.
And yeah. My wife's paging me to make sure I ask you out to dinner for Saturday night.
Yeah, good times.
All right. You have Lynette call her.
I can't commit.
You have Lynette call her.
I gotta think about it.
You have Lynette call her.
I told your wife to do everything through my agent and publicist.
Oh, you are a prick. Oh my God.
I had to fly.
Yeah, I know.
A class
yes,
that was
yes.
not first class. You
yes,
understand
Sir Walter
that?
Yes, all little right. Lloyd Fauntleroy.
Should we talk to Lance?
If you want.
Well, he better hope he's got AIDS. Lance?
Yes.
You're 26?
I am 26.
What happened? Drew, ask him some questions.
Well, what's the call?
I wasn't diagnosed with AIDS. I was diagnosed with HIV Tuesday.
All right. Where'd you get it?
Probably from some sort of sexual exploit. At some point in the past.
Are you homosexual?
Yes.
Okay. And what made you get tested?
Just my doctor noticed some swollen lymph nodes on my neck.
Okay.
And so we did the blood work there at the office and came back positive.
All right. So what's the plan?
Well, I got to get my CD4 done tomorrow.
Yeah.
And find out what my viral load is.
Right.
And I guess we go from there. Decide whether or not I'm going to get a med or not.
You know now that this disease is really considered sort of a chronic illness.
Right.
It's not anywhere near what it was. When I started broadcasting on this show, one of the reasons I got involved with it was there was this thing then called GRIDS, Gay-Related Intestinal Disease Syndrome, which
right.
you now know as AIDS. And when I was in training, when we saw somebody like you, it was a catastrophe. It was, oh my God. And your first episode of pneumocystis meant you had 6 months to live.
Right.
So it is nothing like that. People
yeah, but
live
Drew,
decades
when you
now.
First got on the air, whooping cough was considered fatal.
Yeah, diphtheria was there was the influenza epidemic of 1918, too.
They were trying to figure out how malaria was spread.
The point is...
3 years after he was on the air, they realized it was mosquitoes.
The point is, Lance, that this is something that can be managed, and the triple therapies are extremely good, and people develop... Think of this now as a chronic illness. They keep the viral load suppressed, and you will not, God willing, progress to any real AIDS.
All right. Well, there you go. Now, I'm too embarrassed to talk to him because I made a big deal about his AIDS. It turns out he's got it.
Yeah, what he's doing with what do you want? Well, you haven't found out why he wanted to talk to us.
All right.
What do you want? What do you need for us, Lance?
I had a couple of questions.
Sure.
I'm already starting to feel those feelings of like I'm not ever going to be able to grow attached to somebody again,
like a
romantic sense,
right?
And all that, and I'm just flipping. The first couple of days I was fine, you know, I wasn't feeling the walls or anything, but now all this stuff is starting to surface.
You have friends with HIV?
Yeah, there's some people from my AA group. A lot of people, actually, they're positive.
All right, and they're all kinds of, you know, in addiction populations. It's not just homosexuals, right? There's all kinds of people that get HIV.
Right.
And everyone has different kinds of feelings about it.
Yeah, but better to be homosexual with HIV in terms of scoring.
Yeah, I think so. I think that community is more embraces somebody with this.
Well, no, you got more.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you?
No, that's true. I mean, the only people I know with HIV are gay men.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm saying. I mean, imagine you're straight, you got HIV, you're trying to find yourself a partner. It's like, it's going to have a hard time finding a straight guy.
Well, I'm sure they referred you to some support groups, yes?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, it's going to take some time to sort this through.
I had a question about if you had any books that you could recommend. I'm not real trusting of the internet.
I don't offhand. I've dealt with several gay men who've continued to have, actually it was the non-HIV positive partner I've had as patients, who continued to have normal, you know, obviously protected, but had sexual relations for many, many years. So, it's just a matter of something you're going to get used to. It's going to be a hassle.
Yeah, like find a guy with AIDS and, you know, go at it.
Well, it's not that simple.
Well, sure it is. It's because I'm making it sound that way.
Good.
And what about, you know, it's an interesting question. Hey, Lance?
Yeah.
What about, I don't know why this popped in my head, but would you want to be or date someone with AIDS? Would it make a difference? Or is there
before you had it, you mean?
No, right now. I mean, is there still a stigma there, even though you've contracted HIV?
Yeah, I guess there's some sort of a stigma attached to it. I don't personally subscribe to that, but...
Oh, okay. No, you would not have trouble dating somebody with HIV positive.
No, not at all.
All right. Good. Take care of yourself, Lance. And I know this is a bummer, a serious bummer, but it would have been catastrophic 10 or 15 years ago.
That, and it's better that you know, a much more overwhelming piece would be coming to terms with realizing you might have given it to other people and all your feelings associated with that.
Right. All right, let's talk to Adrian.
Yeah?
You're 20. What's up?
Well, I just had my son about 5 months ago, almost 6 months ago, and it seems like ever since I had him, I just have zero sex drive at all.
Are you depressed?
No, not at all.
Are you on any medication?
No.
Are you breastfeeding?
I was about 5 months or 5 weeks after I had my son. I had to have surgery, and I couldn't do it after that.
What kind of surgery?
I had to have gallbladder surgery.
Oh, nice. And
yeah. So from the pregnancy?
Yeah, it happens.
What happens?
They get, that's not an unheard of thing to get.
What's that gallbladder do anyway? We don't need those, do we?
No, you don't need them. That's why they take them out.
They do?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let's get rid of that.
All right. You want to take yours out?
It's on my list.
Okay.
I've been trying to lose 5 pounds for a while now. What's that gallbladder weigh?
Pound and a half.
Fully laden?
Adrian, this is a real common thing, particularly that first 6 months after you have a baby. There's many reasons, predominantly biological. You've gone through a huge change, and many women complain about dropped sex drive for up to a year. Sometimes something as simple as going on the birth control pill, the triphasic pills often are useful, can restore libido. But it is primarily a biological event. Obviously, other things too. There's the stress of raising a child.
All right. Stop being so sympathetic. How about a nice kick start for you?
What, you?
I was thinking of you. No, why don't you just, you know, get on your husband and get going. Get yourself kick-started.
Well, I mean, it's not like we don't ever have sex. It's just, I mean, I could really care less if I ever had sex again. I mean, I really feel that way. I don't have any drive whatsoever, no interest in it whatsoever. I don't know if maybe there's some sort of hormone pills I could take.
Like I said,
I don't know.
Adrian, sometimes just going on the birth control pill brings it back.
Well, that is a hormone pill.
Yeah, it is a hormone pill.
Well, I started taking birth control.
Which one?
It's Loestrin 1.5.
Yeah, no, mm-mm. Yeah. Go back and talk to your doctor.
Okay.
The estrogen, many women, the estrogen is what they need, and not so much of the progesterone. And that's, you're sort of in the exact opposite situation there.
Yes, the congesterone that you don't hear about so much.
All right.
How about the oral sex? You give that to your husband?
That's really not my most favorite thing to do.
All right, there, baby.
Adam, you're
had enough.
You can't talk to her?
Just about enough.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Let me say this.
Your sensibilities, you look upset.
I've had a long day.
Huh.
And now this?
Oh.
Now's not the time, sweetie. Let me say this, Drew.
Yeah.
I know you love the chicks because you're practically one yourself, but men and women have it tough and have had it tough. Well, what's up with this sort of notion that women never have to do anything they don't want to do? Do you know that kind of basic, prevalent philosophy in this society?
There's a general...
Not just sexually, everything.
And in a way, it kind of continues a disempowerment of women.
Yeah.
Because it's saying men can force you, and you're passive, and that your only choice is to say no. Then you don't have to.
But it's just like...
As opposed to saying to being forceful, if they really don't want to, or to passively saying yes to things that they may not like to do, like men do all the time.
Well, I just mean, it's like...
No, I know what you're saying.
And then like I said, not just sexually, but as a guy, you learn early and often that life is just filled with crap you don't want
to
do.
And just get used to it.
You just get used to it. You just do it every day.
Yeah.
Could be mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
Could be going to work.
Yep.
Could be fixing the car, the tractor, up early, doing a thing.
I think it's a bad thing.
Women are kind of like, hey, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I really shouldn't be doing that.
And if you force me, that's... You're aggressive now.
That's rape. Or that's whatever. You're taking advantage of me somehow.
No, I think that's a bad precedent. I totally agree with
partner you. Partner Jimmy's wife called us in Vegas on the cell phone yesterday, like noon. Started yelling at Jimmy.
You were still at the strip joint? You just got home.
Well, it was about 12:30. We just left. Yeah, that's right. And, we were working in a studio, and she called, and she started yelling at Jimmy about the heater. Why the furnace wasn't working in the house. And then she wanted to talk to me, which is always bad.
Oof.
He gave me the phone. She started yelling at me about the furnace. And she was saying, you know, why doesn't this work? And I don't know. She said the guy said it needed to be replaced. I said, well, maybe it does. And she started yelling, what am I supposed to do? And I thought, what do you want me to do? Talk to Mr. Heat Miser? I'm in Vegas, honey. I'm working. And your husband's working, too. It's like, do something. But I realize that a lot of women have this.
The passivity.
It's like if they were falling off a cliff, they would start yelling for their husband mid-flight. Do something.
It.
Do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Guy wouldn't do that. He would start yelling. He'd start yelling the F-word.
Yeah. To you. Maybe mad at you.
You just yell the F-word. But, I mean, women want guys, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And they're not. A lot of them think that we don't do anything. Listen, women, guys do crap they don't want to do all the time, every day. You should get used to it, too. And if your libido's a little crappy and it's not quite right and you're still in a funk, give your husband a BJ.
Here's the problem. Yeah. But here's the problem with them. You know, you sort of advise them sometimes just go have sex. And there's a certain quality of receptivity that women need to have in order to really be sexual.
If you don't
have
that receptivity. I'm cool. Yeah. I'm cool with that. That's why I say BJ.
All right.
And many other things you don't want to do. That's life. And you know what women do then? They spin it that we like doing the crap. I clean my girlfriend's carpets. I'm like, she's like, all you do is what you want. I go, what do you mean? I was cleaning your carpets the other night. Oh, you like that. Are you high? does your wife do that to you? She has to make you seem like you're having some kind of panty raid frat party everywhere you go.
No, her thing is with work.
Oh yeah,
with you enjoy that. I'm like, I'm working. I'm killing it.
Oh, you're sitting around. You're having a good time. You and Adam are talking smack about me. Oh, wait a minute, Roger.
Yeah.
You're 18.
Yeah.
What's up?
No, you're gonna call her. Hang on a second, Roger.
Okay.
Your wife?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you, I got everything through my publicist.
Come on. Come over Saturday night.
Oh, well, let me just get my bearings straight. I'll meet you halfway in Glendale. Roger?
Yeah.
You're 18. What's up?
My stepfather has been purchasing with marijuana joints and money, my Ritalin.
You mean he's trading you marijuana for Ritalin?
Yeah, like a joint for...
he's your stepfather?
Yeah.
Boy, this guy.
Formerly addicted to meth.
Well, he's not formerly. He's back on Ritalin. Same thing.
What? Hold on. What's a joint get? No, just one pill?
Actually, it was like two or three.
Yeah.
It's money.
How much?
Like $3 a pill.
I'd like to see that around five, Raj.
I know. I heard on 2020 that they were selling it on junior high campus.
Can you tell your mom about this?
Yeah, I mean, I know the guy's family and all, and you want to slide him a discount, but, you know, it's not like the stuff's free. You understand?
Can you tell your mom about this?
No. I think she'd freak out.
Well, I think she needs to know. I do. You're enabling your dad's criminal, effed up.
Pretty soon it won't be my problem.
Well, it is kind of your problem because this your dad's enabling your. Are you a marijuana addict? Using every day?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's enabling your marijuana addiction. I mean, it's just a mess, and I mean, just it's just awful.
Give him $7 for $30.
That's
about four and change a piece.
What do you want from us, Roger? What, you know,
I just
want
to know. Well, like, should I? I don't really want to tell my mother, but like, I mean, it's like,
you better tell her.
Look, he's
and,
back on stimulants. He's
and
back
I,
on
I don't know what's up with your mom too.
Well, she's enabling both
she's
these
got,
guys.
She's got problems.
Her dad was an alcoholic.
Addicted to meth too.
Oh well. There you go.
Hey, Roger.
Yeah.
I know the rent's free and all, but you should be thinking about getting out of there pretty soon.
Get your ass to a 12-step meeting.
And get your ass to a 12-step meeting.
I went to Alateen for a while. Or
great.
Or whatever the hell.
Well, if you have any connections from that, talk to them and let them know what you're up to now.
Hey, Roger.
Tell Adam, too.
Wait a second, goofball. What are you doing?
What do you mean?
School. You in high school?
I recently dropped out of college.
Junior college.
No. It was a 4-year community college, basically.
The junior college.
It's a state university, kind of. Boise State University.
Okay, Boise
all right,
State.
All right. Well, so listen, Roger. So
he's deeming it a community college.
Yeah, you did. Well, state schools are almost, but you did enough. I mean, you got grades enough. You took the SATs. You did a little something.
He does not sound like a dumb guy.
Yeah, you did enough to kind of get that far.
Yeah.
Right? And you dropped out. That's fine.
Well, I wanted to get a job.
There you go. You working full-time?
I had an interview the other day, and I'm getting to work on a full-time job.
Roger,
he's got that marijuana.
Yeah.
Dude.
You focus.
I need to tell Adam that...
Just shut up for a second. You need to focus on getting a full-time gig and getting out of that house with your crazy mom and screwed-up stepdad.
I know. I'm working hard at it.
Okay, go ahead. What do you want to say?
I heard on the internet that the Family Guy was canceled.
Ooh.
Oh.
I think you should use your millionaire status to fix that.
The TV just sucks right now.
All right. Thank you, Roger.
Don't you think?
Let me tell you.
It's incredible.
Let me tell you, all you Darman Greg watching homos out there. I watch that Family Man tonight. I watch it every Family Guy. It's my favorite show. It's like when people go, Love Lines. I love that show. I saw the Family Guy tonight, and I've been watching them because they've been on lately. That show is so goddamn funny. It's amazing. Mm. And I wish everybody would watch that show. Because I'm prejudiced. I want it to stay
well,
on.
Look, there's so much other great stuff just pushing it out. So much other great television competing its way. It's got to wade its way through that great TV that's out there.
I know. What? Drew, would you watch that show? It is so funny, that show.
I'm busy with The Simpsons in our house right now. It's just taking over. We got to go to break.
Oh, okay.
It's actually funnier than The Simpsons.
It is funny.
Although tonight, do you see The Simpsons tonight? It's hysterical. Right.
I love The Simpsons, but The Family Guy is super funny. If that show goes away, I'll cry. We'll be back. Huh? Oh, are you pointing at me, Anderson? Drew was in the middle of a sermon here.
Yes, I was.
Didn't want to cut him off. Don't think the show beginning is going to slow Drew down. Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Alrighty.
There we go.
Let's talk to Jason. Jason?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Alright, just wanted to say, great show, guys. I try to listen every night I can.
Thank you.
Alright, I guess we should just get back down to my question. Basically, it has to deal with my girlfriend. She apparently has some sort of issue dealing with sex, and what it comes down to is that she doesn't orgasm. Or when she does, it's very rarely, once in a blue moon type thing.
How old is she?
She's 22.
Is she concerned about it?
Well, not really. I think she's come to the realization that that's how she works, and, you know, but I can accept that. That's fine.
So?
One thing that does get to me, though, is the fact that when it comes to sex, she has this realization that she's not going to orgasm, so it's pretty much all on me. So I get less and less enjoyment out of the situation, out of sex.
So in other words, all the focus is on you. When you're done, the
exactly.
interaction is done.
That's it.
And what does she do? Does she get aroused by it? Is she into it?
I mean, she gets into it.
Well, women aren't like guys. They can enjoy sex without the release.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah. But listen.
No, really, that's a hard one to kind of get when you're a guy.
Let's not talk them out of that one, though. That's all I got. That's all I got.
No, but really, that, again, that's another one of those profound differences. They really can enjoy it without an orgasm. That's bewildering.
You know, it's funny. Like, once in a while, you get in a groove with a chick, and it's like, you know, so you're going at it, you know, and you're like, all right, you want me to finish you off? And they're like, no, that's cool.
Yeah.
You're like, huh?
It's bewildering. I know. It's like, I didn't think people work that way.
You're like,
bewildering. You're like, what's wrong?
You don't want me to finish off? They're like, no, I'm cool. I had a good time.
You know, and personally, I mean, as a guy, because I don't see that, the thing is that I always think that something's wrong. And, you know, the pressure just keeps mounting and mounting to the point where, you know, at sometimes it becomes almost a chore because I'm almost expecting what's going to happen.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
This just doesn't sound like a great relationship, frankly.
Why is the pressure mounting and mounting?
Because he needs her to orgasm. It's
but
for him to feel
saying,
okay.
But she's saying, I'm not having one. That's cool. That's me. The pressure's off.
I was going to say, you should be with her.
I like to find someone without a clitoris.
Jesus.
Like with a vagina that wasn't hooked up?
I can relate to Jason. I plugged in? That doesn't feel good. It's just somehow incomplete. I could see that.
Really?
Yeah, I could see that.
I think I can get used to that.
I know. Listen, you get to the television quicker.
I don't need someone to have an orgasm on me to feel good about myself.
Right, and he does.
Hold on, write that down, Drew. That'd be a good T-shirt.
Can we put that in the, you know, the quotations for the day?
Yeah. Jason?
Thought of the day.
Just relax. How old is she?
She's 22.
I think the problem
happens a lot.
I think there's a sort of alignment of the relationship, though, and that's why it's also sort of out of whack. This is just one intense area where the relationship sort of isn't working.
Right.
I get the sense this whole thing isn't working for him. Take a good look at it.
I got to tell you, too, once I got on my airplane today from Vegas.
No, you didn't go to the bathroom and jack off, did you?
No. No, flight's too short.
Okay.
But how dare you? How dare you? Sat down next to a guy who had a build like Truman Capote.
Uh-oh.
And got about 3 syllables into a conversation. You know when people start working in stuff about themselves?
Uh-oh.
They go, you know, first off, you know when people do this? They go, well, I lived in D.C. for a while, but I had to leave there. It's like, you couldn't just say you lived in D.C. for a while, but you moved to L.A.? You had to leave there. That and see, my problem is I don't want the follow-up.
Yeah, you're already going, oh, God, you want to get up and leave.
So he goes, and this is, and just imagine the look on my face. He goes, I'm conservative, I'm Democrat, I'm gay, I'm Catholic, and a militant non-smoker, and I had to get out of that town. And I'm like, Christ, I got to get out of this plane, ironically.
You just strap a parachute on right then?
Who had time for parachute? I used the skirt as a parachute.
Oh, no.
Militant non-smoker. He had to move towns. He came to L.A. because of the militant non-smoking that goes on.
Well, that's good. He found a community here.
Single guy. Good can't times. Just live in an apartment and not smoke yourself.
Wow.
You got to go out and put everyone's cigarette out for them. How does that work, that militant non-smoking? Kate?
Hi.
You're 30.
Yeah, I'm 30 years old. I've been married for 8 years. My husband's just a little bit older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, he has absolutely no sex drive.
For how long?
I would say 2-3 months.
Oof. Has he ever been in dives like that, in sort of depressions like that before?
No. And the thing is that I go after him, and he's all for that. But then when it's my turn, he doesn't care. It's no big deal. He just...
Well, I didn't quite get what that meant.
Oral sex.
Is that what that means?
Anything, but mostly oral. And
Has this been a recent... What?
I think I never just go, yes, right.
Has this been a recent thing where you've become the aggressor?
Yes. Not so much. It's always been mutual. We've always had a really active sex.
Yeah, but you said lately you've been going after him.
Right, whereas he hasn't...
I understand, but is your... I know. Let me talk to her.
No. Come I'm on. Done with
no.
you, screwball.
Let's hear that again. Her no.
No.
Oh, God. I will never forget that voice.
Who are we talking to, Sarah?
Kate.
Okay.
Yes.
Kate's 30. She should be able to speak English by now. What did you ask her, Drew?
If she, it was a recent change where she was beginning to go after him.
No, recently. It's always been mutual.
But you said that more recently you started going after him and
right. Just everyone, just shut up. I'm done with all of you.
Let me talk to her.
No.
Please, I want to talk to her.
Kate, you just think about listening
right,
and answering
here,
the
here,
questions.
All right, here's, okay, all right.
Then leave her alone. Kate, you can just smolder for a little while, and we'll get back to you.
Manuel 36.
Hi, Dr. Drew. Hello, Adam.
What's hey, happening?
Hey, I want to be in your committee. Somebody to throw out the red carpet and flowers at your feet for your high school reunion.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to one?
Well, that's what I'm looking for, yeah.
What?
Well, you know, my 20th reunion is coming up in like 6 months, and I'm going to need trumpeters, grape feeders, fanners.
When did
fanners.
You talk about this?
I thought I brought it up to you. We were talking about how old we were, remember?
Yeah, I don't remember. Wow. I don't even listen to you at all anymore.
You did a whole spiel on it.
On what?
Because you said your 20-year medical reunion is
this.
Up.
I do remember this.
What are you, high?
Yes.
Remember, you used to have to study by candlelight?
Yes, yes.
In your one-room schoolhouse?
Kerosene light.
Right.
Kerosene
light. Oh, they had kerosene back then?
Yeah.
Manual?
Recalculus.
Yeah. So what's up?
Yeah, so if I could get on that committee, you know.
What did I say? I don't remember what I said.
Oh, just somebody to throw flowers down as you're, like, making your way into the... Into your reunion, you know,
yeah.
Whatever.
He's
hotel,
envisioning,
whatever
yeah, he's envisioning a beautiful hotel in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I appreciate that. I am going to need somebody to head that up.
Yeah, you're going
to
need
and,
some paparazzi.
Okay, well, keep me in mind.
Okay.
You need something to impress your alumni, right? So you need a sort of a peanut gallery.
Also,
paparazzi.
Do you have some Hispanic blood in you, Manuel?
Yeah.
Good. Is the EEOCs make sure I hire one Mexican.
Okay.
So I would just take care of that with you, all right?
Okay.
Got to find a black and a Korean, too. You know any?
That's right. Mm.
You know any that can be trusted?
Yeah, I think I could round a couple.
All right. All right. Hey, call back in a couple of months because I have not started putting it together yet, all right?
Okay.
All right.
This is no orgasm night.
Jackie?
Hello.
You're 22?
Oh. Yes, I am.
And I'm a militant non-smoker.
Say this. No.
No.
Okay.
All right. What's up?
Basically, I used to be able to have orgasms all the time. I've been having sex since I was 16. And for some reason, for the past year, I cannot have orgasms. And I've tried masturbation because I've had friends tell me to try masturbation, and I don't like it. I don't like masturbating at all.
Adam, calm down. I know it's been a long day. Just relax. Just think a happy thought.
Yeah, I think.
I'm waiting in a stream of calm water.
Jackie, medication?
No.
You sure?
Positive.
No vitamins or anything funny?
No.
Inhalers? Anything?
No, nothing. I don't do drugs.
Are you in a relationship, monogamous relationship?
Yes, I am.
Is that maybe not going as well as it could?
Well, we argue because,
okay.
You know, just stupid little things, but...
All right, well, you're...
And he doesn't know. I fake my orgasms every time.
Oh, this is good. This
I feel
good.
Bad because I don't want to tell him, you know, because he'll...
You know what, Jackie? No, you don't feel bad. You feel pissed. You feel resentful.
I do. Well, I do get mad. I get upset.
All right.
You know, it's not fair. We go for like.
I know. And that's the orgasm turnoff button, resentment. It is. And the fact that you're already having issues in the relationship.
Well,
something's wrong here.
You know.
Well, because he used to actually.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
This is one thing I don't think I knew about before this show. I mean, everyone knows about women faking orgasms. But what people don't realize is they get real resentful that they do it.
Oh, yeah.
And
you're supposed to magically know they're doing it and make them stop.
Yeah, they're like kids when they're mad at their daddy.
Yes.
And they resent the hell out of the guy. But the guy doesn't know what's going on because she's having these great orgasms.
Yeah.
And they never come out and say anything. And it just manifests itself in different areas.
Yeah,
it's really worse than them just never doing it at all.
That's right.
For the guy,
yeah,
way worse. But you know, I mean, if it's a one night thing, that's fine.
That's better.
Yeah. Jackie.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, let me ask you a question about your faking. I know you're about to say something, but hold that thought for 1 second.
Go ahead.
Now, when I fake my orgasms, What I do is I break them up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, like one out of every nine, I say I can't get there.
Right.
It adds an element of realism and a challenge for the guy next time around.
Right.
What do you say to that? Do you do that?
No.
You're not that smooth. You fake every time.
I fake every time.
Hold one.
Isn't that so sad?
Yeah. Hold one. But don't be mad at him.
Well, I'm not really mad at him. I'm just wondering why I can't, because I used to be able to with him. And then so I was like, well, maybe I need to masturbate. And so I've tried it, like, everywhere in the shower. And I've even tried, like, you know how they have the detachable shower head? My friend's like, that feels really good when you put it on you.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, whatever.
Did you really have to finish off with the put it on you? Couldn't have just talking about masturbation.
I love when people say women are taught not to touch themselves. That's why they get
masturbation.
Say in the car, in the shower, I put it on myself everywhere.
Seriously against masturbation, so maybe that's my problem, is I feel bad when I'm doing it, but I'd rather have a guy there. You know what I'm saying? I just would rather have someone there.
Yeah, that's sort of typical.
I'd rather have sex rather than...
Yeah, Jackie, but I think, as we touched on a few minutes ago, you'll excuse the expression, there is problems in this relationship. You're developing resentments. You're angry. You're fighting. You're shut down sexually, and that is your body telling you there's something wrong in this relationship, and that's normal. Deal with the relationship or finish it. Get something better for yourself.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a break. Kate, whoever our caller was that I told to cool off, hung up.
I know.
And I feel bad.
You should.
Well, I'm over it, though.
What was she calling about?
You were asking her about orgasms. Yeah. No. Her husband
had a drop.
She was chasing her husband around.
My question was, that didn't work for her, and maybe he really liked that and was just becoming more passive into this change in the dynamic in their relationship.
Usually guys just sort of slow it down a beat.
It's possible he's at an age where he could be going through waxing and waning desire levels, and we didn't get even asked the questions about medication, that kind of thing.
Okay, well, let's just say this. A lot of people think their partner's cheating when he calms down sexually.
When he
cools down.
No, it's the other way around.
Yeah. First off, the libido knows no bounds. If he's got enough libido to go out and bang someone else, he's got plenty of juice left for you, too. I'm not saying he gets home that night after just pulling out and pushing into you, but believe me, he's got it going for you, too. Also, he's not going to want to do anything that's going to arouse suspicions and make you say, are you cheating? How come we're not having sex?
If anything, he's doubling down.
That's right. So, he ain't cheating. Maybe it's the meds. Maybe he's getting old. Or maybe he's just slid into some kind of comfort zone, and you got to talk to him about it. That was for Kate.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll speak to, Angel?
Ooh.
Thinking about moving. Always trouble with that name. Angel?
Hi.
You're thinking about moving back to England?
Yes.
To be with your abusive husband?
Yes.
Where's my bourbon?
I give it my blessing. All right, hold on.
Okay.
Is he an English guy?
Yes, he is.
How abusive can those pussies actually be? Do you know what I'm saying? Oh, really? All right, hold on a second.
Okay.
He's one of those big working class guys.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. English, you know what the English are like?
They're like the Israelis.
They're like the Jews.
Two versions.
That's right.
Yeah.
Super wussy, nebbish, bookworm, super hebe, or... I'll kill you with piano wire, Israeli commando.
Yeah, right.
That dude.
And the British?
British same dude. Super crumpet-eating, mustache-waxing, pinky-hanging, wrist-dangling homo? Or crazy, cockney, toothless, coal-mining, ass-kicking rugby player?
Right.
Nothing in between. Nothing! We'll take a break. Hey, yo. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Drew, are you getting a lot of sleep lately, or what's going on?
I'm getting manic.
You get manic?
Yeah.
Drew's talking my ass off during these breaks.
Yeah, I've been listening and reading some interesting stuff, and it's things we've been wondering about for a long time. I'm starting to form a unified theory about it.
Drew, haven't you learned anything from the repeated meetings we've had with the program director of this show? You keep your opinions to yourself. All right? All right. Let's get to some calls.
Are you listening to Drew at all?
Oh, when he's talking?
Yeah, because we've been looking in there, and Drew's just jawing away, and you're sitting there reading the magazine.
He's really passionate. Well, I try to give Drew that don't bother me look, but it doesn't slow him down.
What?
Drew doesn't look at me when I'm going either, although I force him to.
Yeah. We get
no, I'm hearing what he has to say.
Yeah, he's interested in his own uninterested
world. It's not really. This one's not exactly coming home for me, but
really?
This latest theory. It's not bad.
It's almost there.
It's almost there. What I'm really more interested in is who crapped up the bathroom?
Yeah, Adam ran out screaming like a little
it is
little
a
girly
mess,
man.
A mess in there. Who did that? Somebody did that. I didn't crap it up from here. It is a goddamn mess in there. It's funny when you, you're always, I did that today. You're looking for the signs. You walk in, you crack the door up. First, like, hey, why is the door shut? And listen, you a-holes that shut the bathroom door when you leave. What the hell is that? People should be beaten. There's a plan. Let's hold the S smell in there for as long as possible. She just wrapped the vent with saran wrap so none of it can get out.
Well, there also is that other maneuver that in the telltale sign with the door closed and the fan on.
Door closed, not a great idea. Open up. Plus, the other thing is you come to a bathroom where the door's closed, you think someone's in there.
Yeah.
You're like knocking on it. Think some guy's crapping it up.
That's what happened earlier. When I got here, I had to go to the bathroom, but it was closed, so I didn't go in. I went to the girls.
Yeah, you end up standing around for 10 minutes, and then eventually you realize either the guy died on the pot like Elvis or no one's in there. Don't close the bathroom door behind you. No need for that.
Elvis died on the pot?
Yeah. You didn't know he died on the Graceland throne?
Uh-uh.
Interesting, Drew.
That's nice.
What you don't know, we could fit into a Grand Canyon, Drew. Angel?
Hi.
You're 23? Oh, yeah, that's right. You got the abusive English husband, right?
Right.
Or ex-husband, right?
Ex-husband.
Well, we're separated at the moment. I moved back to America on December 7th.
What were you doing over there?
I lived there for a year. I had a marriage visa.
So you met him over here?
No, I moved to England when I was 3 months pregnant. And I married him in October.
Angel?
Right. Yeah.
What were you doing over there?
No, I met him in 98 in Florida. My mom lived in Florida, and I met him on vacation with my friend, and him and three of his friends were there. And I basically met him that way. We were just friends, you know. We corresponded on the internet and through the phone and letters. About 4 or 5 months of that, he had come back to America to see me. And just like I said, we were just friends or whatever. Then after about, 4 or 5 more months, this is a year gone by now, it started getting serious, and I started going to England every 2 months.
Then you got pregnant, then you went over there and you married him.
No, I didn't get pregnant until August of 1999. I met him December 9th.
Then you got pregnant, then you went over there and you married him.
I come home.
I don't mean to correct you because I don't have great grammar either, but it's I come home. I come home.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Late here.
All right.
3 o'clock in the morning. But I went over there and conceived my daughter, if you will. And he was quite abusive and beat me pretty badly.
So prior to that, he'd never been abusive?
Oh, yeah.
He's always been abusive.
Yes, yes.
That's when you really started pursuing him and became hell-bent on marriage, huh?
No, it didn't. I only married him because I was 4 months pregnant. He denied I was pregnant. I called him and told him
All right, listen. So what's happening now?
Well, basically what's going on now is, like I said, I came back to America December 7th. After taking 4 years of abuse, I was through the court system. I had a lawyer over there. Because my daughter was born there, I had to get his permission to leave with my daughter.
Uh-huh.
Well, 4 years of abuse, I had 39 police reports, and he was arrested 4 times for assaulting me. And the judge signed permission for me to take my daughter back home to America. I came back home. He followed me here to where I live in Kentucky. He came here. And he abused me here, and I had to call the police, whatever. And he left. Now he keeps calling and threatening he's going to kidnap my daughter. And he called me last night and told me that if I wasn't coming back, that if I ever did, he would beat,
All right, what's the question, Angel?
Well, I really don't know what to do. Because
all right, just stay right there. File a report for him threatening you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And make sure he can't come into this country.
Yeah, but the thing is, he brainwashes me.
Well, that's
all right,
fine.
Hold on a second. First off, she needs to find her dad and kick him in the nuts for screwing her up.
Yep.
The hell's up with her? Okay.
A little bit more.
I gotta tell you a mix. I kind of like her to leave the country. If you, don't go to England. This guy's abusive. But at least go to Canada. Just clear out, would you? Just save us some money. Call the cops and the whole mess.
That was all in England.
It's out here, too, as soon as he comes out. Believe, she'll hook up with another guy. There'll be more cops called. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll finish up with Angel after this. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's my good partner. On again, off again, lover over there. Hey, hour into the show, and he socks the mic for the first time. Yeah. That's a new record, Drew. Circle that date on the calendar.
Yep, kind of better my last outing.
So having a talk with Drew during the break about, I saw that Black Hawk Down movie.
How was it?
Oh, it was pretty good.
Mm.
Not, probably not as good as everyone says, but good enough. About that uprising in Rwanda or some warlords.
Somalia.
Yeah, that's right, Somalia. Whatever, we had to go over there and kick a little ass. You know, there's a couple things I like about that movie. We killed like 1,000 or 2,000 of them. We lost 18 guys. That's a disaster. That's a military disaster as far as we go. I mean, we're not talking about one guy for every 10 guys they lost. We're talking about one for every 100. It's a disaster.
Yeah.
Think about that. That's good news. Number two, as I learned, you know, all these crap ball countries we're beating the crap out of constantly, whether they're in the Middle East or Africa or wherever the hell they are, they're not much at fighting those folks. I mean, they always talk about how tough they are, but we always kick their ass all the time. It's like Afghanistan. Oh, these people are very tough. They'll never give up. Oh, yeah. No, good. They don't have to give up. We'll just bury them with 2,000-pound bombs. We don't need to discuss that with them. But what I discovered from this Black Hawk Down, you know, when the helicopter goes down, they get hold of that pilot corpse. They really know what to do with a corpse.
They kick it and beat it.
They cut the head off. They put it on a stick. They run it around the town. They drag it apart. Kids jump on it. I know I beat up on these countries a lot. They may be horrible fighters, but they really know what to do with a corpse. I mean, they may only kill one out of every 1,000 of them that we kill, but once they get that one, man, do they know what to do with it. They really kick the ass out of a corpse in these countries. And I'm wondering if that's part of the training. Perhaps they're spending a little too much time on that aspect of the training and not enough with the actual collecting of corpses. See, I think what we do, our mistake, possibly, is we focus too much on collecting the corpses.
Creating them.
Not enough what to do after.
I see.
If they were a football team, they would focus solely on the touchdown celebration, but not any of the offensive alignments.
Right.
Which the problem is, of course, at catch-22 is you don't score then, you don't get to use the celebration. But once in a while, helicopter or something goes down, and boy, it is game on. Cut that head off, put it on a stick, kick it around, carry it around. I mean, they just dismember stuff. They're really good at that. So, I mean, my hat's off. But like I said, maybe a little more focus on the actual fighting part and a little less on the celebration with the corpse. That's all. Over here, though, we're woefully inadequate on what to do with a corpse.
Oh, yeah.
We send them back. We bury them. We don't do anything good. There was a time when we cut some scalps off or some earlobes or something like that. We'll get back into that. Angel?
Yeah.
So, abusive husband, all that stuff.
Abusive dad.
What about your dad?
What about him?
What about him?
He's no good.
No kidding.
There you go. All right. So, now you have a crappy dad. Now you got a crappy dad for your child.
Right, exactly.
Fantastic.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Well, that's all right. But you want to go back and get a little more crap for that kid so they can marry a crappy person? And
that's not exactly what I had in mind. Do you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, I want what's best for my daughter.
You want to do what's best for your daughter? Hold on.
I'm a good mom.
Hold on. You said you want to do what's best for your daughter?
Yes.
Well, keep this guy out of the country and out of your life.
I've tried that.
Wait a minute. You want to do what's best for your daughter.
Right.
Okay. That's what's best for your daughter.
All right.
He's calling my house.
Yep. Wait a minute. Hold on, Drew. I didn't know he was calling.
Well, if he's calling.
You're saying he's using the phone?
I'm sorry?
You say he's using the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's different.
Come here at any time. I mean, I've got a lawyer here and a lawyer over there. I'm trying to sort something out where he's not allowed to come back here.
Right.
But they keep telling me that basically it's his daughter too. Even though I have full custody of her, I've just separated from him. I haven't legally divorced him.
All right. Well, so go ahead and divorce.
Yeah, I'm trying to work on that.
Well, how much work does that take?
Well, I've called someone, actually, the lawyer I have here, but I called her and she's supposed to get back to me, so you know how that goes.
No. If you really wanted to divorce, you'd get it.
Yeah, but I've called the lady and I...
All right, well, again, if you put a phone call in, then what are you going to do? And if she doesn't call back, you can never get divorced. You better hope something didn't happen to her phone, Angel. What's up with you, baby? I know your dad was a piece of ass, but what happened?
To my dad.
No. What did he do to you?
No, my dad didn't do anything to me. He just done it to my mom.
Beat the crap out of her?
No, he cheated on my mom.
Yeah, that's not enough. What happened to you? What's up?
I've never forgiven. When my parents first divorced, I blamed on my mom, and I was really mean to my mom.
How old were you?
I was 10. Because I was daddy's little girl. I was kind of like I always wanted to be around my dad. And then, like, he dissed me straight up.
And did he leave?
Hmm? Yeah, he left.
And that was the end of it. He was just gone.
No, I mean, he just left in his way. But he's like, he don't want any contact with me or my brother. He's remarried and, I don't know.
What's the situation? Does your dad have money?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Hold on a second. I'm trying to get a read on Angel. I got like Deliverance type hillbilly.
Yeah.
Then I got sort of weird ethnic hillbilly.
Yeah.
That weird white person when they listen to too much rap.
Right. Right.
And it's weird. They go, homeboy, diss me straight up. It's like, what? It's like you can't even understand it because, yeah, homeboy in the hissy. It's like it's confusing. And then you start hearing about her going, so I'm picturing her like playing a cider jug on some porch in a swamp in Florida. Then she starts talking about going back and forth to England all the time, and I'm going, where'd she get that money? And then she's got, she's retaining lawyers in the UK and in the United States, and I'm like, where's this money coming from? No, she's not making it. So what is she doing? Is she stripping? Is her daddy give her money? She doesn't have any contact with him. Where are you getting your money, Angel?
Actually, believe it or not, my husband. He has actually already paid for me to renew my visa and both me and my daughter's tickets. That's why I feel forced to go.
No. But he's paying for your lawyer, too?
No. Because I was over there and he was abusing me, I got £15,000 worth of free legal aid through a solicitor. Over here, when I got back to America, I did the same thing because I was single, I was separated, I have a 9-month-old daughter. I went to
All right.
My dad has never done nothing for me. If I asked him for...
Okay, baby, I know you hate the guy, but...
I hate him.
Okay, baby, I understand that, but you're going to infuse all that hatred into your kid? Boy or girl?
Girl.
Oh, good. Good, right. She'll go into stripping. Good.
No.
She won't be a violent felon.
She better
good.
Not.
Good. You stay away from this guy, screwball. You start focusing on that kid. I'm sorry you got issues with your dad, but you're mama now, and you can't put your kid in harm's way.
You can't act out your crap in such a way that it spills over onto your kid.
Time to grow up.
I don't want to blame her. Do you know what I mean?
Hey.
Don't even begin to think about going back to this evil limey.
Right.
All right? It's your kid. You think about that kid.
Get the divorce. She doesn't need him around. She's not going to react the way you did when she gets, when you divorce your husband, this is going to be a relief for your daughter.
Right.
Instead of her being pissed off, she's going to be relieved.
Whenever I hear a woman announce she's a great mother, it's always sort of ironic. The real good moms never announce they're good moms.
No. Plus, most are 14 when they're telling us that.
Oh, no.
I'm a great mom.
I'm a great mama.
Oh.
All righty. And I know a lot of our listeners may have been confused by a statement that Angel made, which is she said that she got 15,000 pounds of free legal advice. And I know a lot of folks are going, 7.5 tons of free legal advice? No, that's a unit that they use. That's a currency over there.
It's the one they use instead of the euro.
That's right. That's right. Good point, Drew. Is that euro in?
It's in.
Bill?
Yeah.
27, what's up?
Not much, man. How's it going?
Good. Good times.
Yeah, I love your guys' show.
Thank you.
And the man show, and where's the MTV one? I missed that one, too.
Call MTV, ask them.
Damn those MTV people.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're a big fan of Lidsville, right?
No, I wouldn't say a big fan. We just
like that Sid and Marty Krofft stuff.
Yeah. Okay. I can't believe how high those guys were. Well, and someone gave money to make a TV show.
Multiple TV shows.
Now they're giving them more money.
Uh-oh.
They're putting out a DVD.
Oh.
The World of Sid and Marty Krofft.
Oh, boy.
You two can relive your past on DVD.
Well, is that what the headline is?
I'm just throwing that in there. But for $49.95, you can watch all of the 60s through 80s Reagan era and psychedelic 60s.
Well, now let's just pour through some of those titles. Because it's got to be the Banana
Split. Got them right here.
Banana Split's got to be in there.
Let's see.
No, the Banana Split.
HR Puff and stuff.
Woodsville.
Bugaloos.
Sigmund and the Sea Monsters.
Yeah.
Far Out Space Nuts.
Oh, my God.
Glass Saucer. Electra Woman and Diner Girl.
Hold on. That show gave me a boner, that Electra Woman and Diner Girl.
It is a pretty good show. Wonderbug.
Yeah.
Magic Mango, Mongo, Bigfoot and Wild Boy and Friar's Place.
Now we're getting too current, but the Far Out Space Nuts.
Yeah. Oh,
that was with Bob Denver from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. Gilligan's Island.
And what did he do?
It was for Far Out Space Nut.
Is it where they, like, big...
They were lost and floating around in a spaceship. And Chuck McCann, the guy from the... Hi, guy! Remember that guy? 70 pounds of forehead on him.
Oh, poor Bob Denver.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Bill. You know what I got to say? That's if you look at those shows now, you just realize those guys are blasted out of their mind on mushrooms, or at least mushrooms. And those shows are just pure crap.
Yeah, but
just crap.
You can't blame Sid and Marty Krofft. It's the guys that bought them.
Yeah, they were just super high, and they just started doing stuff
and laughing, just getting there giggling.
Go back and watch one of those Sigmund and the Sea Monsters or Far Out Space Nuts or something. Just beyond crap. Just beyond.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Never
really?
Never
heard of stuff?
I've heard the song.
Do, 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 do.
So you. Do,
do. Mate, you never heard of Lidsville?
No, only from you.
Oh, boy.
Only from me. Really? But, you know, Anderson, I know you have a lot of bravado when you say that. When you boldly announce stuff you never heard of on the air.
No, I'm just informing you.
All right, but you know, you understand you have a little deficit in that department.
In the culture department?
Because I didn't watch a lot of TV.
No, I mean, you haven't heard of many things. That's all I'm saying.
Neg.
I haven't heard of it.
Yes, absolutely.
Tara's never heard of it.
Tara's lucky she knows her last name. Here's this whole show is chocked full of people that don't know things.
Rwanda?
Me, I'm here.
Thank you. Drew knows.
I know everything except for that 10-year period.
All right.
You know what I mean? I'm excused for 1982 to 92, something like that.
Tara knows or has heard of almost nothing. Producer Ann knows less. Anderson has his moments in his fields of expertise, but generally, I've explained to him many things that he's not heard of. And it's not like I'm 25 years older than you. How old are you, Anderson?
28.
I'm not 10 years older than you. And Drew, I understand there's certain things that are in certain people's wheelhouse, but you know of things that are 10 years before your time, do you not?
I think.
I mean, you've heard of Jack Parr.
Right.
He was the original before Johnny Carson. Yeah. I don't know Jack Parr. not familiar with all the episodes he did, but I'm aware of him. That's all I'm saying.
I knew how Elvis died.
Well, I didn't.
Died on the crapper, right?
Yeah, Bobcat says that's how we know he didn't fake his death.
Bobcat is a funny guy, yeah. That's true. Why would you do that?
Where's Bobcat been lately? I was thinking about that today.
You die in a sword fight.
Right. All right. Where's Bobcat been?
Where's Bobcat? I don't know. He called my office 2 days ago, actually.
Is he ready to he's going to produce for you guys again?
He's going to work for the Man Show.
We'll get him up here.
Okay. Matt?
Matt.
Yes.
29.
Yes. I was widowed a couple of years ago.
Unacceptable.
What's up with your phone?
It's a cell phone.
No. No, it isn't. It's a speaker.
I'll go with the cell phone.
I go with speaker sometimes.
Why would he lie? Where are you, Matt?
I'm in my room.
On a cell phone?
Why are you on your cell phone in your room?
I don't have a house phone. I just use a cell phone.
All right. Keep going.
Anyway, I was widowed a couple of years ago. I was wondering, I was kind of asking the question, when is this good to, you know, just get back in and start dating again? I mean...
How did your wife die?
She got appendicitis, and it developed into peritonitis. And she passed away from that.
Wow, that's tragic.
That's also hard to do. Did she just not go to the doctor for a long time?
No, they removed it, but they didn't basically clean everything out or something, and it just developed.
That usually causes abscesses. It doesn't cause overwhelming sepsis.
Well, what do you think? He's making this up?
No, it did get abscesses, but again, it every time they went back in a couple times, and it just kept developing, and then it got her.
All right, so it kept getting worse and worse.
Sure, yes. Please, how dare you? This is too much specific information.
Just curious.
No, you're not curious. You're raising a skeptical brow to this. I'm sorry, Matt. I apologize for Drew. So, this was how long ago?
2 years.
2 years. Okay. January 22nd.
Well, that must have been devastating. And I think the answer is whenever you're ready to go is when you should go. I'd say 2 years has been long enough.
Well, but my friends always say I make excuses when we go out and such, you know. They've been taking me places like bars and stuff, and I'm just saying, well, I don't like them. And they say, well, you're just making an excuse. You know, you got to get on with your life. So, I mean, that's something. I want to meet people. It's just I feel that the people that I'm meeting now, I don't know, it's just weird getting back in the game. I mean, you know, it's 5 years. I mean, the 3 years I was married, and then 2 years.
All right.
But it's not a lot. You're 74. I mean, you're 29.
Yeah.
All right.
It shouldn't be that.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a scientist.
How's that going? Have you invented anything good?
No, I work in labs, stuff like that. I work on just chromatin structures, DNA stuff.
Boring. Yeah, that's pretty good for one of our listeners. Okay, so you're not going to meet anybody at work?
It's just a couple people in the lab. I mean, I don't get a lot of interaction with people at work.
Hey, aren't your you have friends?
Yeah, I have friends.
Aren't they pissed off about you not having a phone?
They call me on my cell phone.
Doesn't drive them nuts, huh? All right. Are you looking for a place to meet women?
Are you looking for a approval of going ahead and just beginning to date again?
Do you feel guilty?
Kind of, but at the same time, as I said, I feel that the people I've been meeting, they're not meeting my interests. I mean...
All right. Well, listen, here's the problem. That this guy's a scientist.
Yeah.
And he's going out to a crusty onion to meet some skanks. Who, you know, chew gum and smoke and eat deep-fried calamari at the same time.
No, he's in Colorado. He's eating, they're eating, what do they call those? What do they call it? The Rocky Mountain oysters.
I was going to say that, but that's not just Colorado. It's everywhere.
Wyoming, right? Colorado, that's where they really eat that stuff.
No.
Wyoming.
They don't serve that at chain places, do they?
Wyoming, everywhere. I swear to God.
At, like, the airport?
At, like, the airport.
You go to
a bar.
You go to a movie theater in Wyoming. Theater, you get a big box of nuts.
Every bar, every... in any place they're frying things, they're frying the oysters.
All right. Let's take a break.
All right.
When we come back, who are we going to speak to?
Oh, how about Scott? Up there.
Yeah. Okay. Just keep rolling.
All right. He keeps breaking condoms. What could be the problem?
Really? That's it, huh?
Well, yes.
Okay. After this, talk to the exciting young Scotty. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
Anderson, I'm defending you in there.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right.
Am I making my point, though?
No. Let's keep going. Scott?
Hey, how you doing tonight, guys?
Crap.
You make it sound like I'm stupid, Adam, with what you said.
Yeah.
I got a problem, man.
Yeah, buddy.
I go.
I don't believe him already.
I don't either, but let's hear
it. Like, the last two girls I've been with, the first girl, like, I don't know, the condom just broke, like, right off the bat, you know? And I started thinking, because she didn't really get that wet, so I thought maybe it was that, you know? Then this last girl I was with, like, she's wet, you know? And you know, we use lube sometimes, and it just broke. And I've tried, like, Magnum condoms.
Do you put them on properly? You roll the tip down before you put it on?
Yeah, and I pinch, squeeze the tip so no air's in there.
Yeah.
I've been having sex for a lot of years, and I've never really had a problem.
What's your hypothesis, Scott?
What do you think
it is? I have no idea.
Gee, how much is bad luck? Random events segregate non-randomly. Things come on in series. Maybe this was your run of bad luck.
Do you have...
It's the last two girls, you know?
Yeah, you're
yeah, big deal. Twice
big
in
deal.
A row. What is that? What are you, you're some native or something?
Somewhat?
I just mean stuff happens, and sometimes it happens 2 days in a row. But that doesn't mean that's the direction it's going. It just means you had a little run there.
You don't need to make a sacrifice to the volcano god.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Listen, here's what I'm saying. You can sit down in Vegas and play blackjack for an hour, and within that hour, you can get 21 twice in a row, or... You can have the dealer beat you on a five-card turn four times in a row. It's completely random stuff, but it does, like Drew said, it'll come in a series sometimes.
Always. In fact, when you're assessing whether something...
Well, that's the only time you notice it.
Well, this is what screws people up in terms of their superstitions. When you're using a mathematical test to decide whether something is truly random or not,
mm-hmm.
you have to look for... There has to be enough series. You have to see series. Now, if you flip a coin 30 times, it's not going to be heads, tails, heads, tails, heads, tails, heads, tails. It's heads, heads, heads,
no,
heads, heads,
tails, heads, tails, tails, heads, tails, heads. Oh, yeah, right. Right. You get a little roll there.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. So, Scott, yeah. You're fine.
Keep the morning after pill around.
And maybe.
Prevent.
I don't know. Maybe step up to a better brand of kind of.
But this does give me a chance to grandstand about this a little bit. You live in San Jose. In California now, you can get emergency contraception without a prescription. Just go to a pharmacy. Call 1-800-NOT-TOO-LATE if you want to know where to get a prescription or get the medication. I am working with some of the state coalitions to try to find a way to improve the distribution and availability of EC.
Yeah, me too, except for the part about working with the state coalitions.
Yeah.
Matt?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yes, I am. And I was kind of faked out just a few minutes ago. You were talking to a Matt from Colorado. So am I.
Oh, all right.
Is it not true that you can get fried the Rocky Mountain oysters all over the place in Wyoming, right?
All over the place, yeah, but I've never had them myself.
He's calling from Colorado.
I understand, but I'm making the point. I'm sure he's been.
Well, that's where they're born, here in the Rocky Mountains, Colorado. Rocky Mountain oysters, I mean.
Right. Why are you putting Wyoming and Colorado together? Are they together?
They're right next to each other.
Cheyenne's about it.
I was pointing to Idaho.
No, no, that's
sorry.
No, no, no.
All right, sorry about that.
Wyoming is more the, the Wyoming.
I swapped out Wyoming and Idaho. Yeah. Go ahead there, Matt.
Okay, first of all, I'd just like to say, Dr. Drew, you're a genius.
I can't.
Adam, you're right.
Whatever.
I love the man.
Whatever.
Thank you.
And I'd love to be an announcer for you when you go to your high school.
Oh, the high school thing again.
All right, yeah, thanks, everybody.
He'll fly, yeah, don't worry.
Is, yeah.
I've been with my girlfriend for about 3 months, I mean 9 months, and everything's going pretty good, except I've been having feelings for this guy that's actually attracted to me, and I want to know what's causing these same-sex feelings and if I should tell my girlfriend about it.
Well, the reason...
I'm putting them on hold for a second.
I'm going to sneeze. Hang on.
You going to sneeze?
Yeah.
Oh, you want to cover my cough in?
No. The reason I don't believe him, I don't want to make little of it because it felt like it was real, but what is occurring to him that would have caused him to tell his girlfriend anything? You know what I'm saying?
Like, I have same-sex feelings. Yeah, I went out of this relationship.
But, no. Right. Should I get out of the relationship is an appropriate question, but should I tell my girlfriend? What is he trying to ask us? You know what I mean? That's not a question you'd ask somebody when you have this kind of a dilemma.
Yeah, but maybe you want to give. It's like when you quit the job, when you do anything, you want to go, I'm moving.
You want to tell her that you're done. Yeah, for sure.
No, but what it means, you want to give her something.
I'll tell her.
Perhaps.
I'm gay.
Well, not you're gay. Oh, that's what you're saying. No, people, when they break something off, whatever it is, it's nice to be loaded up with a reason when you go in there and drop that bomb.
All right. Well, keep talking to him. Because I actually do believe this. I just don't understand that question.
Well, the reason why I have that question is because I kind of feel like she, you know, should know. Like she has the right to know.
No, now I don't believe
her. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
sorry,
why
man.
Not? I'm serious.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead and yell whatever you got to yell.
Sorry.
You got anything?
You want to yell anything out?
No, I'm serious.
Okay, all right. What,
I feel like I'm in a dilemma.
Why don't you, have you ever had feelings for a guy before?
Probably about a year ago.
Same guy?
No, this was actually my best friend.
All right, so you've sort of been experiencing these kinds of feelings. Have you ever acted on them?
No, I've never acted on them, but I'm kind of, I want to. So feel like I'm getting really close to with this guy.
All okay. Right. Then you need to break up with your girlfriend. That's it. Yeah, whether or not you tell her why, I mean, Adam seems to think you should. My thing is,
no.
It really doesn't matter.
I don't.
She'll find out eventually anyway.
No, I don't think by any circumstances there's ever a time when you can justify telling the truth. So don't get me wrong, Drew.
No, I know.
I've not come around on that.
You're vehemently opposed to truth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I get that.
But what I'm saying is I understand his notion of being with someone who is he may be in love with in a way, but is fallen out of love with her vagina. He seems like a kind of guy who has a solid relationship with her. He's just not into her anymore and is freaked. You know, I mean, imagine how confusing it would be if you're this person.
All right.
You're with this guy. He's a great guy. Everything's going great. Maybe you're thinking about marriage, and he's going, I'm sorry, I need out. And you're going, why? And he's going, I just need out.
Well, guys do that all the time, though. But you're right. If it's completely out of left field and he wants to tell her this, some women, actually, it's a relief to them when they know that.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, whoa, whew.
It's not me.
What can I do? Yeah.
No,
it's just over.
He's gay. I may have turned him gay. Matt?
Yeah.
Do you feel like she's going to need an explanation if you break things off?
I really do, because we've been together for, you know, since...
9 months.
March, yeah, March of last year.
All right.
And well, the important thing...
Go ahead.
Here it comes. The important thing is that you break up before you... Because you will be hurting her if you violate her trust before you break up. So go ahead and give her that courtesy of breaking up. If you want to tell her why... If you think it's appropriate in the throes of the breakup, or if you want to tell it later, that's great. But the priority is getting the relationship unraveled. Just get that done.
And if she pushes hard
and it
for an
like,
answer.
Yeah, you tell her. And it sounds like you're gay, and you need to begin really... That's going to be a process for you.
Wardrobe, convertibles. It's a process. It's a transformation. You have to get lots of scarves, ascots. You get that Paul Lynde scarf, you know, you wear on the side there.
They don't know Paul Lynde is.
Oh, okay. That's all right. Allison?
Hi.
What's up?
How are you guys tonight?
Good. Good there, man.
Think about the kind of acting that Paul Lynde did, though. Think of what he, I know.
He acted gay.
That was the 70s, but everyone was like a cartoon character. Everyone.
Yeah, that's why they call it performing. Allison?
Yes?
What's up?
Well, I have two questions for you. One question is very hard, difficult for me to talk about because I've never talked about it before. The first question I have is in regards to my labia. I feel like it's very large, and I don't have any real life comparison.
Some women have that, and there actually are procedures to reduce that if it's really troubling to you.
Because, I mean, I have very healthy sexual relationships, and I've never had anybody comment on
it.
Then don't
worry about it. Has your gynecologist seen it, or doctor seen it?
Yeah, and I mean, no one has ever said anything, but I've seen my friends, you know, magazines and things like that, and in comparison to those women...
That's not you.
Right. And I feel very self-conscious about it.
Well, how much bigger are you?
Interior labia hangs lower than the outer.
Right, that's right.
Yeah. Damn, bitch! You look like one of the Cosby kids down there.
Terrible.
I be boob. You know, you always don't look like that. And by the way, if it's when I used to do overnights in Phoenix for AOR station, Drew Dusty Labia was
Dusty Labia.
That was my on air name. Then I switched it to Adam Carolla,
and but that's still
not my real name. Yeah, hey, this is Dusty Labia. That was Collective Soul. We're going to be right back. You don't remember it? Did I play those air check tapes, Drew? Okay. Hey, Allison?
Yeah,
you're good. Yeah. You can get an operation if you want.
Yeah, and...
we don't think you should.
In regards to that, does it take away from stimulation at all?
No.
Are you having a problem?
I'm sorry?
No. She wants to know if the operation takes away from stimulation.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No.
I thought you meant my interpretation was she's having trouble orgasming and wondering if this is why.
No, not at all.
Okay. No.
Not at all.
I was going to
on the contrary.
I don't enjoy oral sex getting it, but I do very much so like giving it.
Sweet. You know, that's what I need. I need a woman who's just a little self-conscious about her part.
I see.
Her parts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just enough to be like, no, I'll take care of you. Don't go down there.
Is that what she's into?
Yeah.
Is that why she does that?
I think subtly it is. Allison?
Is that way to keep them away from the part you're uncomfortable with?
I'm sorry? Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah. But I have another question for you also.
All right.
I have a sister that's 18 months older than myself, and we've always been very close, and we've suffered from a lot of the same problems with depression and eating disorders and just a lot of things like that, and I think we both started, and I know that we both started masturbating at very, very young ages.
Huh.
And,
how do you know that?
Because I remember doing it together.
Ooh, boop.
And there's one instance that has been bothering me for years, and I've gone to counseling, and in counseling I've never, ever mentioned anything about anything sexual in regards to
good. That's the way it should be.
Adam's been going for 10 years, never mentioned masturbation, his main pastime.
I haven't told my therapist I have a penis.
But I can remember, I would think that I was probably about, I would say I was probably about 5 and she was about 6. And I can remember us sleeping together in the same bed and masturbating with each other like we were, as though we were two people having sex, hugging each other.
How many times did this happen?
That only happened once.
All right.
I'm wondering, why, if you think that...
It's not a huge deal, but it means something. And then something's up in your family. Something was Were things real chaotic?
I mean, I've tried to figure it out.
Well, was there a lot of chaos and instability?
Not at all. I mean, from looking at my family, I mean, my family situation was...
Hey, Allison.
You weren't moving a lot or anything?
We never moved.
Moving on top of our sister.
My parents, I've never heard my parents fight.
Allison?
Yeah.
Relax there, baby. Here, this is Dusty Labia coming at you. Here's the deal. Drew and I, this is really the only part of ideology where we vary at all.
But this one I'm with you on.
Okay.
Yeah. I have no problem.
This stuff goes on all the time. It happens quite a bit. It could mean something's up, but it doesn't necessarily mean something was up.
It's not a huge deal.
Yes.
Not
so
at all.
So here's the deal, Allison.
Okay.
But it means something.
I don't think it necessarily does. I mean, to the extent that there's always something, there's always an issue, there's always some energy in every family, no matter how good things are.
Right.
I don't think you should lose sleep. You're making the energy that you have about, there's a word I'm looking for. It's not, you fretting over this. And the shame and the fretting is worse than the actual event.
Yeah, yeah.
It happened once. It's not a big deal. It was a million years ago, and I would say get on with it. It's not the kind... I don't think there's anything to explore.
No.
I don't know what you're going to get to if you try to get to this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So don't freak with your sister, and don't confront her, and just focus on giving the oral. All right. We'll be back after this. Pow! Yeah. Little shot for Anderson with the cans turned up too high. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Used to watch this great show. You know, we're talking about after school.
Yeah.
Local programming. That's all
kids.
We used to watch when we were kids. Yeah, Sheriff John and Hobo Kelly.
And what?
All this weird local stuff. Most places had their own local TV. There was this one after-school thing. They'd show cartoons and stuff. I mind you, I was in the eighth grade. But I used to, you know, 13. I used to watch it anyway. And they'd play this game called Pow.
Oh, yeah.
And they would show... They had 30 seconds for you to say pow as many times as you could. And they'd give you like $1 for each time. So like people would call up and they'd be like, and go. And the kid would be like, pow, 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 pow. They would tally it. Maybe it was only 10 seconds. But, you know, in 10 seconds, a veteran could get in like...
38 pals.
That'd be like 18 pows. I was in the eighth grade. I was racing along with the retarded pow kid. Pow! Pow, 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 pow!
Pow kid.
They couldn't have done any better than that, the pow.
Wonderama.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jerry Mahoney. Remember that?
The doctor? The professor?
The puppet.
Mahoney. No, Knothead.
You sound like off-air conversations.
Lynn? Yeah.
Well, are we on the air?
You're 19.
Lynn?
All right. Lynn's not around. Let's talk to Armando.
Yes. Hi, doctor.
Hi, Armando.
How you doing?
We're good. What's up?
I have a question to ask you.
All righty.
I'm going. I have a female friend. She is black.
Yeah.
And one of her friends wanted me. She tried to hook me up with her best friend.
Right.
One of her best friends wants to go out with me for the Super Bowl coming up next week.
Cool.
Where are you from, Armando?
From Albuquerque, New Mexico.
I could tell.
Originally from El Paso, Texas, but I moved here already.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I heard that accent. El Paso accent.
All right. And what's the question?
My question is, how my reaction to go out with two people at the same time? My mom don't like me. Well, she likes me to go out with black people. I know that, but with two females, I'm not too sure.
If your mom would approve of it?
I guess so.
Armando.
Yes?
Since here you're 32.
No, I'm 22.
22.
Yeah, I wish to be 32.
Well, even at 22, you need your mom's approval for...
I'm going to give our screeners a pass on that screw-up. Armando's not the clearest guy.
Yeah.
You have any problems, Armando?
Not really. Only, like masturbating. Think about all the females only.
Who's this? Is this Lou Ferrigno?
No.
I was going to say, any hearing problems or cerebral palsy or anything like that?
No, sir. No, doctor.
What's your nationality?
My nationality is like I want to make out with a female.
Hold on a second.
That's his nationality?
Is retarded a nationality or?
No.
There's no retardia?
No.
Oh.
No, it's a state rather.
Oh.
The state of retardia.
I got to be easier on those people. I didn't know that. I thought there was one, place. I didn't know where it was, but I was like, hey, man, you need to go back. Oh, I said some really bad things. I feel bad now. You kidding me?
Bobby?
No, you're not kidding.
Armando?
Yes?
Do you have a disability?
Yes, I do.
What do you have, buddy?
Like a mental retardation.
Okay.
Mentally?
Mental retardation.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. And how's that going? Are you able to work?
No, I never get to get a real job here. A pencil takes or here and I'm picking a rough call.
All right.
You can't get a job?
In anywhere in the United States.
Really? Sometimes there's little work sort of programs for folks.
Yeah. Have you seen those McDonald's commercials?
Pardon me?
Hey, like McDonald's. They do that. They only hire the retarded, I think.
Well, I tried before. They said we need to have a straight person.
Have you ever had a girlfriend before?
No, sir.
Are you looking to have one?
Yes, sir.
That's good.
Hey, Armando.
That's a good plan.
I have an interesting sort of
question.
Philosophical question for you. And it just popped into my head. It's interesting. But you're aware that you have retardation, right?
Yes, sir.
And you understand that maybe it gets in the way of you doing certain things.
Look, can you, for example?
Well, I mean like work.
Like work?
Yeah, like because of your disability, mm-hmm. You're having trouble finding a job.
Yes.
Now, does that make you unhappy?
Yes, I do. Unhappy.
Are you unhappy constantly, or would you say that you're generally a happy person?
First, unhappy person, not get a job.
Are you angry?
Yes, I am.
Are you angry because of the retardation or because of the job?
Both.
Did you feel like, why does this have to happen to you, or God has forsaken you, or something like that?
I have no idea.
But I guess what I'm trying to ask is, and I'm not sure, I know he answered, but I wasn't sure, and it wasn't clear in the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Day in and day out, just every day. And I know you have your good days, and you have your bad days.
Mm-hmm.
But would you call yourself a happy person, or are you upset?
A happy person.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I have a happy life.
You're happier most our callers.
Can I ask you a question, doctor?
Yeah.
The one question is, I touch females, I want their body in public. And my question is, this is the way I feel, touching females on the breast, a thigh, legs, buttocks, or... on the front.
You tried doing that in public?
Yes, I did.
Tried touching a female?
Did you get in trouble for that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, it's not considered an okay thing to do. It people don't encourage that. They don't want that. And it's actually illegal to do that to people in public, even if they elicit it, even if they want it.
Really?
You can't grope in public.
Yeah.
In public?
Yeah. I don't know.
That was interesting.
You know my bizarre question I ask everybody who's retarded is, do you know you're retarded?
Yeah.
And you do know you're retarded.
Yeah.
But does your retardation...
affect your perception of what that means?
Yes. I mean, if your brain was healthy enough to fully feel the scope of your retardation, then you wouldn't be retarded.
It also is interesting...
I mean, here's what I'm saying. Yeah. You take the retardation and put it onto your brain and go, oh, I'd be miserable.
Yeah.
But it's, in a way, well, this is not going to sound good. I just realized this. But You know, sometimes you see like a dog sleeping out in the dirt.
Yeah.
And you go, geez, what's he doing in the dirt? Then you go, oh, he doesn't know. He's happy.
Don't you remember the village?
The village idiot?
Love and death?
Yeah.
He's very happy. Well, it also shows there's a disconnect between cognition and affect. You can be quiet. And we have plenty of very smart callers, very unhappy.
That's true. Oh, no. Smart and happy, or even just sort of brain function and happy, don't go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. They work against each other.
Could be.
What do you think the IQ of the average suicide victim is? I would say higher.
Possibly.
Than average.
Should be alcoholics tend to be higher.
Thank you. Thank you. Should we take a little break here, Jeff?
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Yep. Well, that's it. It is Thursday, isn't it, Drew?
Yes.
Yeah, my schedule's all screwed up.
Got Foo Fighters in here next week.
Oh, really?
Joe Rogan, Jerry McGrath.
Well, that's good. All right. That's a good enough week right there. Man, I'll tell you something. Has anyone seen them Foo Fighters live?
Yeah, they're good.
That goddamn band rocks. Well, there's a lot of good bands out there and a lot of good live bands, but if you have not seen the Foo Fighters, they will blow you away. This is like one of those super hard rocking bands. I love those guys.
To their face on Sunday.
No, I'm going to play cool.
All right. I'll tell.
Yeah, I think I caught part of your set. You guys were okay. All right. I want to thank, who do I want to thank? Damien for not killing us. You know, it's only a matter of time before he freaks on us out in the parking lot. It's got kind of a violent history. I want to thank.
Terramite, too, you know.
I want to thank
you. Call her Tara one more time.
Tara, don't call me Tara.
You get a shiv right in your ass.
For coming in here and pretending to work each and every week. I also want to thank Lauren for
putting hands.
Still not sure what Lauren does, but
putting a feminine stink on things.
She's doing a wonderful, wonderful job. And no complaints. And producer Ann for putting her feminine stink all over the show. And engineer Anderson for pushing buttons like this. Thank you. So, until next time, Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Oh, you have any problems, Armando?
Not really. Only like masturbating. Think about all the females.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.